Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
That's right. It is the Garden Hotline. We are in January. There's snow everywhere. And we welcome back our guest, Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. How did you enjoy this winter storm?
You know, it actually was, it's always kind of interesting in our industry because there's stuff to do, but with all this snow, we didn't really get a chance to go into the office. So this week we did a lot of working from home. We're doing a lot of planning right now, fielding phone calls about whether or not we do snow removal, and our crews are happy to say that we do not do snow removal. Yeah. They hate it so much, as do I. I had a couple of rounds of snow removal in my own driveway, but yeah, we're just kind of taking stock of what happened last year and kind of planning for what's going to happen with our company and with our clients in 2025.
So, if you don't do snow removal, what do people ask you to do in a time like this when there's 8 inches of snow on the ground?
Well, what we're basically doing right now is we have a huge renewal process that we go through with our maintenance clients. We have a ton of ongoing maintenance clients, so we spend this time of year kind of going over how that went for our clients and reaching out to everybody to see what they might need for the spring, if they want any services added on to their contracts, any bulbs or any spring plantings. It's a lot of planning for spring planting right now. We're doing a lot of design work, ordering and things like that. So if you're thinking about doing some kind of spring planting in April or May, right now is the time to get started on talking about that. And if you need professional help with that, it's definitely time to start talking to a professional.
The number to call to ask your question, I know that you have a question to ask this morning. It is 314-436-7900, probably something that's been burning in your brain for a whole week. We are here. Michelle is here to answer it. We do have an 800 number. You have to dial 1-800-925-1120. Again, the local number is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. What about seeding?
Seeding, it's time. So for the last several weeks, even the last month, I have been delighted to come home every day and check the mailbox and see what kind of seed catalogs have come in the mail. So it's kind of a time for me to start daydreaming about my summer or even early spring veggie garden. So I've kind of gotten out the seed catalogs. I started a garden journal for the first time. I think they always tell you to journal about your garden, take stock of what you have, what you did the previous year, what worked, what didn't work. One of my New Year's resolutions this year was to actually document and start my journal. But it's really, I think, important if you want to have a productive veggie garden for the season to start early, and the time is now to either start planning your veggie garden or even start sowing some seeds. There's some seeds that you can start sowing right now. A lot of our cold season veggies should be started indoors. Things like broccoli and cauliflower and kale, even some cut flowers or some flowering plants can be started inside right now. Pansies come to mind. You could do even zinnias or cosmos. You can go ahead and get those kinds of things started indoors. So when March comes around and we can start putting some of those cool season veggies and even some cool season flowers like pansies outside, you're ready to go.
You just gave me a great idea for the theme of this show.
What's that? There's always
an organic theme that seems to
sure
pop up. New Year's resolutions for gardeners. I think it's a good one.
Yeah.
Things you want to do, things you don't want to do mm-hmm. again that didn't work last yeah. time. So now I'd like to offer you the opportunity to, in addition to asking any question that you have, 314-436-7900, also think about something that you are would like to make a New Year's resolution for your front yard or your backyard or your trees, the bushes, anything. I think that's a pretty good idea.
That's a great one.
All right. So we're going to start with that. Hopefully you have something in mind. 314-436-7900. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping is here once again. And we have enjoyed having her here and glad she's back to start the new year. We will be right back with your phone calls on KMOX. It's the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Our guest today is Michelle Reeser-West. You probably remember her being on the program before. She is great at answering your questions about a lot of different topics. She works for Pointer Landscaping. The number to call to ask your question or give us your New Year's resolution about gardening, about something you want to do this year or something that you've done in the past that you want to stop doing because it's killing your plants or whatever. The number is 314-436-7900. Michelle, I remember when I had a backyard and a front yard, some of the things that I thought about at the beginning of the year. One year, I wanted to make sure that I had no natural grass in the backyard ever again. So I got turf. And that was a great decision. I mean, it was a part because it had a couple of dogs, and that was kind of a pain. It's so much easier to pick up when it's the turf. You know, and when you it was such a small city yard, mowing it didn't take long, but it was kind of like, why do I even have to bother with this? And so that was one thing. And then the other thing was in the front yard, I had landscaping, and the first couple years I let it languish. I didn't really take good care of it. So my resolution the following year was, let's take care of it so you don't have to keep, you know, going back to the landscape people and say, can you fix this? I messed it up. So those are a couple of mine. What do you got?
I love it when you talk about your gardening. You don't do it very often. And I often sit over here and think, you know, like, what is he doing at home? So a little insight into your gardening yeah. is really entertaining for me. But no, you know, it's a great question. And, you know, to do things to prepare yourself for those moments, you know, where you're like cursing yourself because you've waited too long and now your garden's already, you know, it's only May and your garden's already looking crazy with weeds and last year's growth. You know, winter right now, a lot of people think there's not a lot to do in gardening because there's snow on the ground. But one of the things that is on my list this year and the thing that I always, you know, forget about doing or put off because I don't want to do is, you know, at the end of the season, I'm kind of over gardening. I've done it for the whole season. It's blood, sweat, and tears. I've pulled enough weeds. I've watered the plants. And so I kind of just throw everything back into my garage. And I may not put it away nicely. I may not put it away properly. So one of the things that I am, you know, looking forward to, we'll say I'm going to think positively. I'm looking forward to getting out in my garage whenever it warms up here this weekend. And I'm going to pull out some of those tools that I just kind of threw in there without any care. Things like, you know, my shovel. I'm going to get in there and I'm going to clean off that dirt. I'm going to, you know, brush everything off. I have a little wire brush that I'll kind of clean off all that caked on dirt. It's a great time to sharpen your shovel. I tell people that all the time, like a sharp shovel is your best friend in gardening. If you're out there hacking away at roots or cutting a bed edge and you have a dull shovel, it makes life a lot harder. But it's a great time right now to clean those tools, to sharpen your shovel edge. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to doing this weekend.
So instead of dry January, or in addition to dry January, we've got cleansing
yes,
January cleanse, for the gardening
cleanse
tools.
Cleanse your gardening tools for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make sure they're ready to go for the spring.
Absolutely.
You don't want that caked on dirt.
Yeah, and rust. Like it's, you know, your pruners.
And rust.
You put your pruners in and maybe you're out on a rainy day or there's gunk from all the, you know, the plants and just sap stuck to the blades. It's a great time to get out there and clean it, put some WD-40 or some other kind of oil on it to prevent it from rusting over the winter. And, you know, you're ready to go in the spring.
You know, another thing that I did that I thought about was, by the way, gunk is one of my favorite words.
That's the technical term.
It is. Mm-hmm. And it belongs in a gardening show. So there may be more than one occasion in the next hour and 45 minutes that the word gunk comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I had a big yard, when I lived in Ohio, I had a huge yard. And that required, you know, a riding lawnmower that took an hour and a half. And one of the things that one of the New Year's resolutions that I made was do not leave the oil in the lawnmower over the winter because that causes problems.
That's right.
You got to have fresh oil in the spring, but get it out of there.
Yeah.
In like October or November.
And the gas, all that stuff is bad to keep in there over winter. So we, you know, in our blowers or hedge trimmers or things like that, we will, you know, use a funnel and try to get as much out of the tank as possible and things that are, you know, that you can lift. It's harder to do with a lawnmower, but, you know, getting as much of that fuel out as possible. And then we even just we'll turn the blowers on after that or the hedge trimmers, and we just let them run until they completely run out of that fuel mix so that it's not sitting inside the tank and messing up the carburetor. And, you know, it's something that we don't always think about. We go out to mow our yard for the first time in March and we haven't put away that mower properly. And, you know, it's just a great way to take care of your tools. We spend a lot of money on gardening tools. It's a lot of money. And
it's a big industry.
You know, especially in the professional world, we got to take care of those things. But even at home, you know, we spend a lot of money. Even if it's a $20 pair of pruners, it's money out of our pocket.
Yeah. It's a good point. You really do want to take care of that stuff. And so what is your New Year's resolution for your yard or your garden, your trees, your bushes? Call us and let us know, 314-436-7900. We, of course, are at your service and will also be taking questions. Let's begin. Susan, you're up first on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, yes. So mine's not a New Year's resolution. Mine is just a question. I have a lot of like larger flower pots that I use outside, and so I try to like change my potting soil every year, but it gets very expensive. And I was wondering, can you reuse the potting soil in your pots?
Yeah, you absolutely can. I typically recommend to people that every 2 to 3 years you should replace it or at least take it out and work in some new garden soil. Doesn't necessarily have to be the entire container. If you have small pots, it's easier to do. It's not as much. You can kind of dump it out and mix in a little bit of new potting soil. But as long as you're doing it or replenishing some every 2 to 3 seasons, it'll be enough. Also, adding things like you know, different organic materials, compost, or even some malorganite or other things like that to the existing pots can help to keep that soil rich with the nutrients that the plants need.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Susan, for calling in at 314-436-7900. Again, we've kind of come up with our usual organic theme for today, and it is if you have something you really want to do this year with your garden or your yard, let us know. Or vice versa, we've been talking a little bit about things you don't want to do, and others can learn from those mistakes. So we're happy to take any of those calls, plus your questions for Michelle.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the things I really love about gardening and I love about this show is that everybody does things differently. And part of gardening is making mistakes. I think I've said it on the show before. You don't actually know a plant until you've killed it 3 times. but every time I meet a new gardener or somebody in this industry, I'm constantly asking questions and learning. And, you know, part of my resolution, as I said, was to start this gardening journal. And, you know, I get a lot of stuff messed up in my head and I forget it. But writing it down allows me to make a plan for the spring. It allows me to remember when do I need to put that pre-emergent down in my on my turf, and I'm going to write it in my journal. I'm going to maybe put it on my calendar. I'm going to remember to transplant that group of ground cover that I've been meaning to do for the last three seasons that I forget about doing until it's summer and it's too late. So I think, you know, just planning and learning and thinking about all those things that you messed up or that you didn't do right from the previous season is a great way to start this new year.
Gardening journal. That's a cool idea. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah. So I'm going to inventory in my journal. I'm going to go through my yard and just write down what plants I have. I do have a base plan for my yard. And if you don't have one, it could be a cool thing to do this winter is to, you know, kind of do a layout on paper of what's in your garden and where. But I'm going to inventory my plants. I'm going to write down what I have, how many, what types of those plants that I have. Are they doing well? Why do I think they did well? Why do I think they didn't do well? Can I move them? Should I give them another season? So I'm just going to document all of that. And then as the season goes, I can use that as a resource and a reference to, you know, how I'm going to do things the rest of the year. So I think writing it down for me, because, you know, I got a little ADHD brain. So writing things down and making a list and it is really helpful for making sure we get things done at the right time of year.
Well, you are talking about living things, and it's probably less angst-ridden than writing things down about human beings that you're having relationships with.
Yes, you should totally journal about your garden and not about your bad relationships.
It keeps you distracted from
It's good stuff. For your soul. Let it out.
That's right. Yeah. Isn't there a book, something like Gardening for Your Soul?
Or, I'm sure there is.
There should be. 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Michelle Reeser-West is our guest. If you have a resolution you'd like to offer, maybe we could learn something from a mistake you made last year. Or if you just have a question about the spring planning for your yard or garden, please let us know. 314-436-7900. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, along with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, answering your questions. And today we've decided to do something fun with the new year. Gardening resolutions. What would you like to make happen this year or see happen in your garden, or something that you learned from last year that you'd like to avoid? The number is 314-436-7900. Chris, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My New Year's resolution is, and I'm not sure if it's a good idea, so I want to know what Michelle thinks. For the last 3 years, I've been wanting to trim my trees in the backyard. They're deciduous trees. And because I can't get the grass to grow, it's a north-facing backyard. And as these trees have grown, it's about 15 feet deep of woods before there's a little pond in the view. And I'm wondering if that's wise to try to trim one side of the tree so that, you know, more sunlight shines in the rest of the yard.
That's a great question. I think that it is often tricky to get turf to grow under deciduous trees, especially, you know, things like red maples that have a really dense foliage. So one of the ways that you can help with that, if you do want to try to have lush lawn under that tree, is with some, you know, selective pruning. I don't know that I would just do one side. One of the things that you can do is, you know, either yourself or hiring a tree company to come out. And they can do some selective thinning throughout the entire canopy of the tree. And that way you can let a little bit more like dappled sunlight come through and hit that ground below the tree. Kind of helps out with the turf growing under there. You could also, I don't know what the trees look like, but if they have some lower branching, you can remove, you know, maybe a couple of those lower branches and limb up that tree to allow a little bit more sunlight to penetrate. And, you know, you probably also need to overseed a little bit. A lot of times when we have that thin turf under there, it may take a couple of sessions of overseeding. You can do that in the early spring. If you're If you're on a like a lawn care routine where you're doing pre-emergence and things like that, you would probably want to hold off on doing that pre-emergent this spring if you're going to try to overseed. But getting that seeded in the spring and then again in the fall will also help get that sunlight. Oftentimes, depending on the type of tree, it is really difficult to get a really lush turf underneath the shade tree. So, and I'm a hater of lawn, so I'm in favor of removing all the grass and planting, planting beds. You could do like a little woodland garden under there and just remove the turf entirely and make a little garden instead of having turf.
Yeah, but it's the turf in front of the trees that I'm worried about. I actually have thick ground cover throughout the woods, and it greens up beautifully.
Perfect.
But it's, you know, as I guess I've been here 30 years, and as the trees have grown, I'll get this branch that comes out, and it starts reaching over the patio, and I'm not even getting sunlight in the part of the yard that used to get tons of sun, and I had thick lush
grass. So it sounds like some pruning is definitely warranted, and, you know, like I said, thinning out the canopy and maybe lifting up some of those lower branches.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Chris. It's 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline to ask your question of Michelle or let us know what you're thinking to start the new year in terms of your garden or backyard this year. We had a question about crocuses.
I love a crocus.
Croci.
That's funny. I think it's some crocus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now tell me about them first.
So crocus are really cool. There's a couple different kinds. There's a kind that does bloom in the fall, but the majority of the crocus that we have or that we see around here are spring blooming. They're cool little, they're almost like a woodland bulb to me. Because they're small and we typically see them growing in our woodlands. But they're really cute. Most of them are purple or like a lighter blue or purple. But really great, super easy to plant, needs very little care. They come up on their own in late winter, early spring and kind of disappear on their own. So you don't really need to do that much to them. But it's a great option.
But they come up early for the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when should you plant them?
You should have already planted them.
Well, yeah.
So they typically get planted in the fall. I think you could probably risk it if we thaw out a little bit and the snow goes away. You could probably risk it and plant them. They do need this cold before they bloom in the spring. This is probably a little bit too late, but if there are people out there that are hanging on to a bag of bulbs that they didn't get planted in the fall, I think it's worth trying. But definitely, we typically plant our spring blooming bulbs around Thanksgiving time, give or take, depending on weather.
And in terms of the crocuses, what's the best spot for them?
Crocuses are really awesome because you can pretty much plant them anywhere. They can take shade. They can take sun. They don't normally care about sun conditions because if you think about it, we're in winter, so we don't have leaves on our trees. We have a different light situation in most cases because we're, you know, getting darker earlier. So lighting for crocus doesn't really make that much of a difference. They don't like to be super wet. So if you have a super wet area, I would avoid that. No wet feet for the crocus. But really, they're a great plant, great selection because you can pretty much put them wherever you want. You can put them in the ground. People put them in pots and just use them seasonally. But it's a really versatile, great bulb to use.
And if you're in the woods, you see them a lot under trees.
Correct.
So that's a good spot too.
It's a great spot. Okay. Just put them everywhere. Just sprinkle them everywhere. Guy. Just go out in your yard, throw them up in the air, and wherever they land, that's where you plant them.
All right. Up next, we have Kurt. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, are you familiar with the product Tordon?
Yes. So
okay.
What are you...
Is it effective this time of year?
It is. You'd have to look at the labeling for temperature. I think that would be the only thing that I would be concerned about. So Tordon, for those of you who don't know, is an herbicide. It's sort of like a Roundup where it's going to kill the plants. We use it a lot for killing woody plants, and it's typically used when you have something like a honeysuckle or something that's going to grow back, it's woody, you cut it, and at the site of that cut, you're going to use that concentrated form of tordon, and you're going to paint it on that stump or apply it carefully to wherever you make that cut. And then the plant will take it in to its root system and hopefully will kill the plant. It's unlike Roundup. Roundup is a foliar herbicide where you spray it on the green foliage and the plant takes it in. This you apply directly to wherever you make the cut, and that's how it works. And again, it's winter and fall is a great time to try to kill things because your plants are pulling all of that energy from their leaves or from the top of the plant back down into their roots. So in theory, it would be a great time to use tordon, except the only thing I would look for is the temperature range. You might need to wait till a day that that the temperature, I would typically say it's above 50 or 55 degrees. Also, when it's below zero, your plants aren't necessarily moving all of that sugar and all of that water. So it kind of would be a moot point in that time frame. But just watch the temperature, read the label for that. But other than that, I think you could still use it.
Well, how about this for a New Year's resolution for everybody?
All right.
Try to cut at least 3 to 5 honeysuckles a month.
I like
out
you
of my
so
woods.
Much.
You know, I got 3 acres, man. And it's our woods out here in our subdivision are just, they're taking over. And we got the decline of the white oaks. And I just thought maybe we'd get ahead of it a little bit. So I appreciate the information.
I love you already. You sound like a great person. Anybody who's willing to attack the honeysuckle year round is a friend of mine.
They're taking over.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah. It's definitely a problem for us.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Kurt, for calling in. 314-436-7900. What is the status of the honeysuckle problem right now, I mean, as you see it?
It's a problem. It's a big, big problem. It's a huge invasive. It's one of the biggest topics that we talk about as an industry. It's one of the things that homeowners are really starting to become aware of. But it's a big problem. It's one of the last things to drop its leaves in the fall. It's one of the first things to leaf out in the spring. So it's crowding out all of our native vegetation in our woodlands, and we're losing a lot of our natives. And it's actually becoming a problem, or I think it's part of the problem with our deer issues here in St. Louis, because the deer don't have a lot to eat in their natural setting. So they're leaving the woods because they don't have the native plants that they like to eat. And they're coming into our gardens and eating our hostas and all of that stuff. But it should be a priority, I think, for everybody to try to get that honeysuckle off your property when you can. And winter is a wonderful time to get rid of all invasives. Honeysuckle is one of them. It's a really easy one to identify. And it's, I think it's really rewarding to try to get rid of that. It's really great for our environment.
Why is winter a good time to do that?
Because, I mean, what else are you doing?
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that.
No, I mean, winter, there's not a lot of other, tasks going on. Again, it's easy to identify along with other invasives. It's super easy to identify winter creeper euonymus. It stays green all year long. So you're looking around in your yard or in the woods and you see something that's green and viney, and maybe it's growing up the tree. It's a great time when you're not doing a lot of other things to eradicate all these invasive species.
Michelle Reeser-West is our guest from Pointer Landscaping. She's answering your questions. We're also talking a little bit about, that was a great New Year's resolution, by the way.
I think it's my favorite one ever.
Okay. We're asking about New Year's resolutions and what things you want to do this year, maybe things you want to avoid. So if you have some of those, let us know. People might be able to learn from what you've been experiencing. The number to call is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Today we have Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping answering your questions. We're also doing a little bit of a New Year's gardening resolution, so let us know if you have those. 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Cliff. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning. Last year, I planted 2 winter berry shrubs. I say 2 because I found out I needed a male and a female. This year, I want to plant beautyberry, a beautyberry shrub, but I haven't found out in my research yet whether or not I need a male and a female for that, too. Can you tell me?
You do not need a male and a female for beautyberry. You just need the one.
Okay, good.
Yep, and that's a great choice. I love those. I think you should definitely plant a lot of those. It's a great. There's a couple different kinds. One is native, and one isn't. Either one is fine, but I have a preference towards the native. It can get a little weedy, but beautiful. Going into the fall with those purple berries. If you guys don't know what a beautyberry is, go ahead and Google it because it's a really interesting plant. It doesn't always look like a lot. It's not a showy plant throughout the season. Even the flower isn't super showy, but man, you get to fall and you have these beautiful purple berries all the way down the stems. It is quite a show. It's worth the wait to get to fall to see them.
Yes, yeah, it sure is. Yes, thank you very much then.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks for the call, Cliff. We are here at your service, so let us know what your questions are. And we're also talking about things we might want to revisit that didn't quite work out last year. Maybe do something a little bit different. I didn't realize beautyberry was one word, but I like that.
Did you Google it?
I Googled it.
Nice.
I Googled it. They're really pretty.
They're really cool.
The purple flowers are nice.
Yeah, there's not a lot of plants out there that look like that. A lot of berries, a lot of other things, but that color of purple, and it's just a really profuse amount of berries, so it's a great show once they get established. It's really cool.
So, in terms of the landscape business, have you spotted any trends that maybe, or your predictions perhaps for 2025?
Did you see the Pantone color of the year?
No.
I think it's called Mocha Mousse. It's
Mocha Mousse.
Yeah, and people have been kind of, you know, they do that every year. The Pantone comes out, whatever their color of the year is, and it's like a browny tan color, and it's kind of been...
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's actually not that exciting. I think that's what people are...
I was being facetious.
I think that's what people are really having trouble with, and it's been kind of a divisive... People either really are into it or they're not, and I'm not ashamed to say right here on air that I like it. I think it's a great, it's a great accent color. We think a lot about these weird little trivial things, you know, like you wouldn't think that in gardening we're really worried about whatever the Pantone color of the year is, but it is. I mean, a lot of our clients are into that. It's, you know, it's a design element that people, your everyday, people know about. And it's something that we like to try to at least think about and incorporate if we can into our designs. And this brown isn't, you know, it's not like super eye-catching or anything, but it's a great accent color. And a lot of what I like in design is to keep things natural. And the Mocha Mousse is a very natural brown color. It actually shows up a lot for us in a lot of our hardscape elements and in our twigs.
I can see that.
And our twigs and branches of our trees, that color is present. But we have a lot of like lighting fixtures that are that color, or handrails, or even gutters and things like that. And those aren't things that we typically talk about on this show. We talk a lot about plants and things like that. But when you think about your overall design of your garden, you know, some of those pieces, like your hardscape or your lighting fixtures, or you know, the railing that you put on the patio next to your garden, those things matter. And this Mocha Mousse color shows up a lot for us in those types of elements. And I like repeating and having a more natural color for those types of things, as opposed to, you know, something bright and shiny, some kind of metal that doesn't necessarily go with your landscape. Having, you know, this more muted brown color, or in my garden, I use a lot of rusted steel and things like that. So for me, hardscaping should blend in with your garden. And this Mocha Mousse from Pantone, I think, is a great choice for our garden designs this year.
It's really, actually, I'm looking at it. It's a really pretty color. The pictures they show of just the color, it looks like chocolate cake.
Yeah.
And then I see walls with it, and it is quite appealing. It's got sort of a texture to it that looks interesting. And what is even more interesting is what it evokes. It is supposed to evoke calm and reassurance. Earthy tones are echo to nature and aligning with our eco-conscious design. That's what, you know, that's what they're selling. But,
I love it. So while you're journaling, yes, you can have your brown mocha mousse that makes you feel calm and centered.
But I think that's actually a valid question in terms of landscaping. How much of it do you think about and in terms of the feelings that it might evoke to look at it?
It's a big thing for me. I don't know that everybody thinks about the feeling or it's at the forefront of people's minds. But for me, nature and being outside and being in my backyard is all about the feels. You know, like I go out there to connect with nature. I go to the woods to hike, to be calm and to get that mocha mousse feeling. And, you know, and when I think about that in design, it's really important to me. And getting to know my client or getting to know the space that I'm designing, or even in our maintenance department, thinking about all of that and how the space is intended to make people feel or how they use the space. People are out there with their dogs and with their children and with, you know, their families and having gatherings outside. And I think the feel of the space is super important. And like I said, I really enjoy a naturalistic landscape. I don't mind a highly groomed, manicured lawn. I think there's beauty in that, too. But it doesn't evoke the same feelings that, you know, like a really thoughtful natural garden might. But it's super important. And I think getting to know how you feel in nature and how you intend to use the space is really important in deciding what kind of plants you're planting and what kind of hardscape materials that you're using. Because I want to remain in that feeling. I want to be in nature when I'm outside, and I don't want to use a bunch of hardscape materials that kind of draw my eye away from the beauty of all the living things in my space.
Well said. And for people who are getting your services as landscapers, I mean, they got to look at this every day.
Yeah.
So, and then it changes over time. And so there's something to that, too, kind of getting ahead of it so that you can kind of see into the future.
For sure.
What it might look like.
That's right. And gardening isn't, it's not a right now thing. You know, like you get this design installed and it's these little nuggets. They're baby plants or small plants. And a good designer will have that in mind. A good designer will have your intentions in mind when they're designing. They'll have, you know, what you're using the space for in mind when they're designing. And hopefully they're having the long-term stewardship of your garden in mind. And that goes, you can talk about, you know, are you able to have a professional company come in and maintain a larger garden? Or are you capable of going out in your garden and doing all that work yourself? If we, as a company, design and implement a garden that is not going to be managed properly or that a homeowner is unable to care for, that's a disservice to the client. And it's a disservice to us as a company because those gardens aren't going to look good. They're not going to perform. And when I have somebody in a neighborhood walking by a design that I've installed or a design that I maintained, I want to be proud that that's my yeah. design. I want people to say, wow, who did that? And part of that is thinking about the long-term success and care of that garden. And it's something that not all designers think about. And one of my previous bosses would give me so much trouble. We would have discussions about designs and I would get stuck in like a maintenance perspective. And I would say, well, we shouldn't use that. That's going to be hard to maintain. Or how are you going to get a mower through that space? Let's make sure we leave access to get the mower back there. And, you know, I think that my previous boss would think that I was limiting, you know, plant selection or things like that. But it's really important to me to think about maintenance and the stewardship of our gardens and whenever I design things. So it's a big deal to me. And yeah,
that's a great topic. I want to visit a little more on that, but we have to get to a break in the news. But we are going to continue our conversation with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, talking about gardens for this year, 2025, maybe some things you want to do this year in your yard or garden, or want to fix something from last year. Ask your questions at 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Thanks for tuning in. on this January day. I hope you survived the storms and your yards did and your gardens have. And we have Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping to talk about things related to the new year. Maybe we're going to do some New Year's resolutions for your garden. If you have something you really want to do, you're thinking about, Michelle might be able to give you some good tips. Or if you want to avoid something, she might be able to give you some suggestions. The number to call is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. And we go now to Kurt. Kurt, good morning.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can. Go ahead with your question.
Well, basically, I live next to a neighbor and have their kids cutting through my yard all the time from the previous year. And I want to try to create a border of bushes to kind of define the line between our properties and, you know, prevent some traffic, if you want to call it that. Bottom line is that I don't know what bushes would be proper to kind of create a wall of bushes and how far apart they should be if I decide to plant them. So I'm looking for some suggestions.
That's a great question. I want to be silly, make a joke, and tell you to plant something with thorns to keep the kids out, maybe like some rose bushes or something like that, but that's not nice. When I think about that,
I'm not worried about nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I think about, you know, creating a screen or creating some kind of barrier, there's really kind of a couple of options. Do you want something that's evergreen, which is, to me, one of the best screens because it's, you know, it's there all year round. Or you can also do something deciduous or something flowering. If you, you know, you're looking for something larger or something that will get larger and grow together, you can...
I can remember in that grade school, we had borders in different parts of the yards to prevent kids from running through the bushes and so forth. So what I remember from my childhood was they were really pretty close together, but really thick. You almost couldn't see through the bushes. And that's the kind of I'm thinking about, but I'm not sure what to call them or how far apart to plant them and so forth.
So traditionally, and thing one that we're trying to get away from and one that I will discourage you from doing is the burning bush. That one is used quite a bit. So if you run across that or somebody tells you to use that, I would discourage using that just because it's becoming a little bit invasive in our natural areas. So I would stay away from that. But a great alternative to something like that could be a row of viburnums. There's a lot of different kinds of viburnums. Some of them can even be what we call semi-evergreen and will hold some of those leaves throughout the winter. They're not fully deciduous, but you can have a little bit hanging on through the season. That would be, for me, a go-to if I was looking for something that was deciduous. Again, all different shapes and sizes. There's all different kinds with different blooms. Some of them have really attractive berries that come after the blooms have faded. So that's a great option. Look into viburnums. There's also a lot of native viburnums that you can use.
Okay. Is there a generalized placement as far as actually planting the actual plant?
Yeah, so whatever you choose, you should look at whatever the mature size of that shrub is. And typically, when we're planting plants, we look at that mature size and we want, and depending on the look you're going for, if you're planting them in the landscape and you don't want them touching, you would look at that mature size and you would say, okay, this shrub is 10 feet apart. I don't want it touching. Or 10 feet wide, and I don't want it touching the next plant. So you would, you know, plant those maybe on a wider center. But because you're wanting to create a hedge, you would kind of take...
Hedge, right. There you go. Yeah.
You would take that mature size of whatever plant that you decide, and you're going to plant those much, much closer. So if you have a tree that maybe is 6 foot wide at maturity, you might plant them on 4 foot centers, and they will overlap by 2 feet. So you just want to think about what that mature size is and then kind of plant the center. We say plant on center. So you're basically, you know, going to get your measuring tape out. And let's say you have a 6 foot tree that you want to plant on 4 foot centers. You're just going to take your measuring tape out.
Right. So I do have some meshing and going on, like we call it overlapping. Yeah.
Correct.
I like that idea.
You can plant them even tighter than that if you want more of an instant screen. Part of the problem with that over time is that most plants need some type of air circulation. And if you plant them too close, they'll get really dense. And then that opens up the plant to pest and disease issues like fungus and different bugs.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really pretty. My VI, like in Victor.
Yep.
Yeah, viburnum. Okay.
Yep, viburnum. And then there's a lot of other, you know, evergreen options. I think arborvitae's one. I think they're a little bit overused. And depending on what type, there's people use a lot of green giants. Those are huge. They get, you know, anywhere from 12 to 20 feet wide. So you definitely need a lot of space for those. There's some really great smaller versions of those arborvitae that are called steeplechase arborvitae. There's some that are called North Pole that do pretty well here.
Yeah.
If you're going in the arborvitae family, which is evergreen, I would stick. I would stay away from emerald green. They like it a little bit more northern temperatures. It's a little too hot for us over the summer, and we tend to see those. Those will die out. It'll be you'll plant a grouping of, you know, like six or seven, and two of them in the middle will die a year or two in, and then you have to try to find one that's similar. But that's why I like viburnums. You can prune them if you want. You can, and they're easy to keep in the size and shape that you want them to be in, and they're good for birds. They're good for the environment. So I think that would be my pick for you.
I'd like to have them thick enough so the kids can't run through it, but still be able to see over the viburnums in this case, deal with the ways to my neighbor if I want to, kind of thing. So yeah, I really appreciate that. It's kind of give me a little more focus now for sure.
Yeah. Happy planting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Kurt. We appreciate it. The number to call to talk to Michelle is 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Jeremy. Good morning, Jeremy.
How you doing this morning?
We're doing good.
For the guy that just called in, here's another option is pyracanth. They have nice thorns on them. You can tell, so they're only 2 feet high, 3 feet high. They get little orange berries on them. Birds like them. I use it to kind of fence out an area where all kids wanted to come over, try to, you know, antagonize the dogs. You don't walk through that stuff because it's got thorns on about an inch long, but it stays green all winter. So that's an option.
That is an option, and that goes back to my thorny option to keep the kids out. But those are kind of hard to maintain over time because they do have those long thorns. So if he's wanting to shape those and prune those, that might be a deterrent for him as well. But the berries are beautiful.
All right, thank you for the call. It's 314-436-7900. We are going to continue taking your questions or any thoughts you have about this year versus last year in terms of what you did with your garden or your yard. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and Michelle can give you some tips. 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. You're listening to KMOX. Garden Hotline on KMOX. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping is here answering your questions. She's a pro. Anything you're interested in talking about related to gardening and landscaping for this year, maybe some things that you did last year you'd like to learn from, we are here for all of it, New Year's and all that stuff. 314-436-7900 is the number to call. Sharon, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Your guest said that green giant arborvitae do not thrive in this area, and I am looking at doing some arborvitae in the back of my yard. They're called Fuja giant arborvitae. Is that the same family, or is that something I should be staying away from?
No, the green giants do well here in St. Louis. The ones that don't do well here in St. Louis are emerald green.
Okay.
But we do have a lot of success with the Thuja emerald the green giants. I don't know if it was a green giant that's on your list or some other. I think there's like little giant, and there might be
this. This was the Thuja, Thuja, mm-hmm. green giant arborvitae.
Yep, that should do well here. It's a fine performer. They do get really big, though. So yeah, make sure wherever you plant them, the name Green Giant is in fact a very good name for it, because it gets really, really wide and very, very tall, and they are fast growers. So make sure that you plant them away from the house or away from fencing or other trees.
Yeah, that's exactly the type of plant I was looking for. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Sharon. 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Mary. You're on the Garden Hotline with Michelle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question about daffodil and narcissus bulbs. I ordered some a couple of months ago, and then the mail lost them, and then they turned up last week. So obviously I can't plant them right now, but what's the best thing to do with them? Do I wait until spring, or wait for a warm day, or am I, you know, is there a way that they will stay good?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think that you could definitely still try to plant them this year. Planting them on a warm day after the snow melts is actually going to be better than trying to wait till the spring to plant them. The other thing that you could do is you could put them in a pot and have them bloom for you in the pot. But I think, you know, it's a little late in the season. If we were doing things in the perfect way, in the perfect timing, we would have planted those by now. But again,
right,
if I had them in my garage or they showed up late on my porch, I would definitely go ahead and try, because they just need a few weeks or several weeks of that cold time. And we still have plenty of cold left for them. So I think that it's worth the effort to go ahead and put those in once the snow melts and the as long as you're, you know, it'll be easier for you if you wait till that ground isn't frozen.
Right, right. Okay, well, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call, Mary. We appreciate it. 314-436-7900 is the number to call and reach Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. So in terms of the snow, I mean, it's stuck around for a week now. Any impacts people should think about in terms of what's under it?
Yeah, I mean, the snow itself isn't really going to hurt anything. It's a natural process. Sometimes when we have these huge snows, we had, you know, 10, 12 inches of snow that hit us. Some issues that we do see is, you know, we have some massive piles of snow around. So the snow itself won't hurt the plants, but sometimes the weight of those piles of snow, if they get piled over on a shrub or something, you could see a lot of broken branches from that. You know, we didn't have a lot of ice here, but we did have some. Ice is often more destructive to our plants than the snow itself, because when the plant becomes frozen with that ice around it, it's easier to have breakage. You know, when we had that 11 inches of snow, we saw a lot of things like arborvitaes. The boxwoods in my backyard were really heavily weighed down. So when we have that much snow on some of our trees and shrubs, we can see broken branches. Or in the case of the arborvitae, when we have, you know, 10 inches of snow weighing down the tops, they have multiple liters at the top of those things, and they can bend over under the weight of the snow and they can break. So if that's happening in your yard, we always recommend taking a broom or your blower or something like that outside and kind of knocking some of the weight of that snow off of your plants so you can avoid breakage. If you do get breakage from the snow, it's always a good idea to try to clean up those cuts as soon as possible. It's always a good time to prune damaged branches. So if something broke, just, you know, cut it back with your pruners. The other thing that we see a lot of is salt damage. And salting your sidewalks and your driveways and even the roads, we see a lot of salt damage that can happen to our plants. And that can happen in several ways. If you have plants out by the road and you get the water splashing with all that salt in it, you can see salt damage or salt burn on the tips of your needles, especially on evergreens. So you'll start seeing that sooner than later if that has occurred. Salt also sticks around in our soil. So if you can avoid using the salt when you're cleaning up that snow, I would recommend it at least around your garden beds or anywhere where that water is draining back towards garden beds. You won't see the effects of that immediately. You'll see that in the growing season. One of the things that, you know, salt attracts water. So if there's a lot of salt in your water, sometimes that water is attracted to the salt and is absorbed by the salt and not by the plant. It can also affect how the plant uptakes water. You know, it kind of is destructive to the balance of the nutrients in your soil, and it can cause issues with how your plant takes in water once the growing season starts. So, and in that case, you'll see, you know, yellowing or browning or dropped needles. You'll think it's something wrong that was immediate that's happening right now, but really it's something that happened because of all the salt we put down. So if you can avoid, when you're shoveling your snow, if you can avoid using salt-based products, you could use things like sand or even vermiculite to, you know, just kind of create traction instead of melting that ice. It's not going to, you know, ice or salt helps melt that ice, and it's really beneficial. The other thing you can do is just use less. If you can use a little bit less salt and maybe add in some sand or something like that, will be really helpful, especially just around your garden beds. And like I said, anywhere where water is draining away. But typically the snow itself is not bad. In fact, it's quite good because it, you know, it's going to melt away. It's going to slowly water our plants. It actually helps to insulate a lot of our plants. It can protect things that are more delicate. So yeah, I mean, it's good and bad with the snow.
Yeah, that's interesting. If someone is to call you guys now for the spring, let's say, planning ahead for a landscaping project, what should they know about pointer landscaping? Do you have a special focus or just generalized landscaping? What is your...
We pretty much, if it is outside, we pretty much can make it happen for you. You know, I think our kind of motto is that we are experts in outdoor living. So we like to create, you know, spaces that people use. And there's really nothing too small for us. I think a lot of times people won't call because they think we're a larger firm or we have that word architect in our title. And a lot of people do need landscape architects for their bigger projects, but not everybody does. We do, you know, everything from small little city yards or, you know, I call them little pocket gardens where you have a garden and you just want to, you know, redo a small area. We have designers and crews of all expertise levels and size levels. So, you know, whether you just want us to come help prune and mulch in the spring, or you're looking to have a full yard design, maybe you're looking for a pool or a patio or a pergola or drainage. That's a big one that we've been working on a lot here in St. Louis because of our crazy weather patterns. Where we go from drought to, you know, 7 or 8 inches of rain in a single setting. We're having a lot of drainage and runoff issues that we're, you know, doing designs and implementations of water management a thing. So pretty much, like I said, if it is outside in your yard, we can make it happen for you.
And that includes hard surfaces too.
Absolutely.
Not just planting.
Yeah, I mean, anything from, you know, a poured concrete walkway to pavers to stamped concrete or anything that's hardscape related. We have guys to do it. We have an in-house carpentry department. So our carpenters make some really cool pergolas and really cool outdoor. I saw an arbor that we built last month that was really cool. But our guys are really, I mean, they're craftsmen. We hire and have some of the best staff, I think, in St. Louis. And, you know, we really value that craftsmanship and the creativity. So if you have an idea and you need help thinking it through or just need help with the labor to, maybe you have ideas yourself and you just need somebody to come and help, you know, cut a bed edge or prune your roses. Like we can pretty much do it all for you.
What's your specialty?
My specialty is plants. I am definitely the plant nerd at Pointer. My official title is Director of Horticulture. So if it is plant related at Pointer, then I have my finger in it in some way. So everything from running the maintenance department and making sure that that department is running smoothly to helping out with the design department and selecting what plants we're going to use. You know, we really try to be thoughtful about the palette that we use in our designs. And we actually have a meeting coming up soon where we'll discuss what worked for us as a company in the previous year and what plants we're going to stop using because it didn't perform well, or what plants You know, there's always a bunch of new plants everybody wants to try. So we always are a little slow to bring in those new plants because we do offer a 2-year warranty on everything we plant. So we want the plants to perform well. So we really take it seriously in picking the plants that perform well for us in St. Louis. And for me, part of running the maintenance department means I get to see what those plants are doing and how they're doing. You know, it's our goal to not only design and build these landscapes, but to maintain them so they look good for years and years. And in doing that, I get to see what, like I said, what's working well for us, what's no longer working well in St. Louis. One of the things that we constantly talk about is this deer damage or the deer browsing. You know, there are plants that we would use a couple of seasons ago that are tried and true deer resistant plants, but they're no longer that way. So we want to stop using those in some areas because they have so much deer pressure. So anything that's related to horticulture at Pointer, you know, I have my hand in for sure.
Michelle Reeser-West, Pointer Landscaping is the company. We have a little bit more time to answer your questions. If you want some advice for 2025, something you're thinking about doing or something you did last year that maybe didn't work out so well, kind of a New Year's gardening resolution, 314-436-7900 is the number. It is the Garden Hotline, and you are listening to the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. It's the Garden Hotline. I'm Scott Jagow, along with Michelle Reeser-West. She is answering your questions this morning at 314-436-7900. Up next, we have Sandy. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about brown spot disease. I had some new shrubbery put in last summer, and the dogwood and the lilac, both, had these horrible-looking brown spots, and then eventually it kind of covered the leaves. And my app on my phone diagnosed it as brown spot disease, but I don't know if that's correct or not.
It could be correct. Last year, we had an incredible issue with all kinds of fungus. And, you know, on dogwoods and lilacs especially, those are very susceptible to fungal issues. I don't know that brown spot's probably not what was on your dogwood. We saw a lot of anthracnose and some other things on the dogwoods, but it could be brown spot. Either way, it's a fungal issue that we saw a lot last year. We had periods of heavy rain followed by drought, heavy fluctuating in temperatures. So it was just a big issue that we were fighting throughout the entire season. What's good is that most of the time, fungal issues aren't necessarily super bad for your trees. It's an aesthetic problem mostly, and those leaves have fallen off the tree. Hopefully you've cleaned them up so we don't have those fungal pathogens around for next year. And this year the tree's going to leaf out and you'll have a whole new set of leaves, and hopefully we won't have as many fungal issues. There are a couple things that you can do to help prevent fungal issues. Once fungus is there, it's not a lot you can do to treat it. You could slow it down, but you can't really make it go away once it's there. So one of the things that we want to try to do in order to prevent that, in case we do have another year with a lot of fungal issues, is first we want to try to plant the plants in the right place to begin with. And you're already past that because your plants are planted.
Right.
But all those people out there that are wanting to plant a dogwood or a lilac or something that may be susceptible to fungal issues, is that we want to try to find a spot that's nice and sunny in the mornings so that the water doesn't sit on the leaves while it's still shady. And the next thing that we can do for the plants that are established is clean up all of that leaf litter that has the contaminated fungal pathogen still on it. And you can do a little bit of thinning. And this will depend on whatever plant that you're doing. Both a lilac and a dogwood are early spring bloomers. So you're going to want to wait to prune those until after the flower, after the show's over. But we can thin. So air circulation is really key to try to prevent fungal issues. So if we can open up the canopy or open up the base of that lilac by thinning out some of those older branches, It's also a great time to go ahead and remove anything that's crossing or rubbing. That also opens the plants up to pest and disease issues. But that air circulation allows the air to circulate, allows light to get through, which helps to get that water to come off a little bit sooner in the day. And then another thing that you can do is do like a dormant spray on the trees before they leaf out, you know, while the trees are dormant. Late winter, early spring typically happens before the buds break. And then that is, you could do a horticulture oil or a dormant oil, and you're just basically spraying those branches and spraying down the tree or the shrub. And we typically do, that, like I said, right before the buds break. You can do multiple applications every couple weeks for like three applications. It's not necessary, but that can be helpful in, on something like a lilac that, you know, has heavy, heavy fungal issues. You can also do that that spray or some kind of fungal spray, like a horticulture oil or even neem oil, once things leaf out, to try to, you know, prevent that fungal from starting in the first place. So like I said, once it's there for the year. But hopefully your plants are going to bounce back this spring and they'll have nice, lush green foliage and we won't have a crazy, crazy weather year. It'll be more typical with fewer issues like these fungal things that we saw last season.
Well, I really appreciate your help, and I will start on that early spring. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sandy, for calling in. 314-436-7900. We'll take the next call from Sherry. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
The question I have is simple, is if Pointer, is that the landscaping, comes to Illinois at all, Columbia?
We sure do. We try to keep
you do.
It. Yeah, we've done it. We actually did a few projects over in Columbia this year.
Right.
We try to keep it within about an hour of us. We're, you know, kind of in centrally located in Baldwin. But yeah, we are all over the St. Louis metropolitan area. So give us a call on Monday and we can come hang out with you and talk about your yard.
Oh, well, I tell you what, I have a Mike Miller design yard. Years ago, about 12 years, he came here. In fact, he was here two, three different times. And he drew up this marvelous design. And I went by it mostly. And so now we've got 12 years of growth. And I've become older, of course. And there's one little area that I want to redo. And it, overall, there's little places that need refreshing that just needs to be, you know, perked up some. So I was just curious if that would be something that you would do.
That would absolutely be something that we do. It's 100% in our wheelhouse. It's actually one of my favorite types of gardening to do, is to take those established gardens that just have, you know, a few years of wear and just need a little bit of refreshing or maybe some pruning and add in a few things here or there. So absolutely. You can give us a call on Monday and we'll be happy to talk about it with you.
Oh, well, all right. That's no cover. I was thinking I'd call you in the spring, but I mean, I can surely call.
I would start soon. Our schedule is already filling up for 2025. So I would start soon.
Okay. Well, great. I guess I can look up your number, and it's Pointer.
Pointer. P-O-Y-N-T-E-R. Pointer Landscape.
P-O-Y-N-T-E-R. Very good. All right. Well, thank you, and I will give you a call.
Perfect.
Sounds good, Sherry. Up next, we have Dorothy. You are on the Garden Hotline. Dorothy, good morning.
Good morning. I am one of those people who works till the last minute, and this time the last minute came too soon. I still have some perennials that are in the pots that I bought them in that I didn't get in the ground, and I also have some spring bulbs. If I dig down to my garden, or if enough melts that I can get to my garden, if I plant them, is there any hope for them?
I mean, I think there's probably better hope for them than just sitting there. So I would definitely, you could do a couple things with those perennials. You could just try to overwinter them in the pot, and you could leave them outside where they're going to get water. You could throw some leaves or some kind of mulch or something around them to kind of get them through the winter. Or if we have, you know, a few days where the weather warms up and the soil is workable, then, you know, I would say that, you know, that's going to be the same thing as letting them overwinter. You're either overwintering them above ground with some protection from leaves or mulch, or you're overwintering them in the ground So I think either way, you probably have about the same chance of getting them through the winter. And then as far as the bulbs go, we talked about that a little bit earlier. I would risk it. I would go ahead and put them in the ground because it's easier, or it's better for them to go in the ground right now than to try to plant them, you know, or try to get them through next year and plant them in the garden next year.
Okay. Does the snow keep the plants warm right now? Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
Yeah, the snow's good for the plants. It kind of helps insulate things. So the snow is actually really beneficial and a helpful insulator for all of our plants.
Okay. And I'm sorry I didn't hear about the bulbs earlier. I was shoveling snow.
Oh, have fun with that. But I'll just keep talking about bulbs. So if anyone else have any bulb questions, I'll say it again.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thanks, Dorothy. Thank you. We have one more segment left to take your questions for Michelle, 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline. It's your last chance. Stay tuned right after a short break on KMOX. Okay, last chance. Here we go. 314-436-7900 for Michelle Reeser-West. She's from Pointer Landscaping. Carol, you're up next.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
So I have a question about ivy. We had a bunch of burning bushes in our backyard, and they were beautiful. And I know you said they were invasive, which I didn't know. But after probably about 7 or 8 years, they died kind of like out of nowhere, we thought. But our neighbors, who was on our yard too, like we have joining yards, they got a bunch of ivy. So we don't know if that might have choked them out, and if, because we want to build like a wall of bushes again, like that one gentleman was earlier that wanted to build a wall. So our question is, would the ivy choke out any bushes we plant, or do we need to get that ivy out of there?
So that's a great question, and I have two answers for you. One is that ivy, if it is our typical English ivy, is also becoming invasive in our woodland. So my recommendation is to always remove ivy if it's possible and maybe try a different ground cover. If you're not able to do that, you can keep the ivy. And as long as you're kind of maintaining it and keeping it from growing on things, because it becomes invasive when it starts growing up trees, and then it will set berries, and then the birds eat the berries, and then they carry them off into our natural area. So keeping, if you do have ivy, keeping it well maintained and on the ground is really the key to keeping it from becoming invasive.
Okay, so it's our neighbors, and
so
it's going to contained.
So as far as choking out your shrubs go, that's probably not what killed the burning bush. When we see ivy or other ground covers choking out shrubs, it's typically younger shrubs, or they choke out a lot of perennials. They don't always do a lot of damage to our shrubs and trees until they get really, really, really like enmeshed in them. So if that ivy were to take over and to climb up within the shrub, or climb up the tree and become larger, then that's when we see it choking the shrubs out. So the ground cover in itself is probably not the problem. With burning bushes, we do see a lot of sudden decline. They have a lot of health issues. They get a lot of spider mites. They get some fungal issues as well, which can completely, sometimes it'll be like a branch by branch dieback, and it'll slowly decline, but sometimes they'll just completely just die on you out of nowhere. And that happens a lot with the more established burning bush. But
that's what happened.
Yeah. So again, if you are into the look of the burning bush, a viburnum would be a great option. Spice bush could be a good replacement that's native. But as long as you're keeping that ivy trimmed and keeping it kind of away from the base of the plant and away from growing up into the shrub, your shrub should be fine.
Oh, well, that's great to hear. Well, thanks.
Yep. Thank you.
And like that one guy asked, because I didn't write it down, that starts with a V?
Yeah, viburnum. Yeah, mm-hmm. Viburnum.
Okay. And they grow how tall?
There's all different shapes and sizes. There's some that are small and some that get quite large. So just check out the different cultivars.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks.
Thank you, Carol. Up next, we have Dave. Dave, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. With all of the salt being spread on the city streets, and the lawns, of course, into the snowbanks and then onto the lawns. Is there anything that we could put on the lawn in the spring to kind of neutralize the potential damage that that salt would have?
That is a great question, and I honestly don't have a good response for you. I know that, you know, a lot of the water will help dissipate some of that stuff, but as far as something to put on it, I don't know that, I don't know that answer. I don't want to give you an incorrect answer. So yeah, maybe you'll just have to Google that one. And there might be something, there might be, I don't know what kind of things that you can put on your lawn specifically, I think would probably be more likely to have a product that you can put on it, over like a garden bed.
Okay. Very good. I appreciate your help.
Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't be more informative for you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Dave. We have another call now from Mary. Good morning, Mary.
Hi. Good morning. I have a question about what you were talking about at the beginning of the show, and it's about gas. And I've never done this before, but I did not add my fuel additive to the gas that's outside the gas mower. And it's in a shed, and I know we've had some super cold temperatures. Is there any hope for using that gas this season, or should I just try to get rid of it somehow?
I mean, that additive isn't 100% necessary. Are you talking about like the additive you put in to help with the,
yeah,
the temperature,
yeah,
fluctuations?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not 100% necessary to do that. You know, gas is not like a long term shelf stable product. You should try to use that as quickly as possible and not leave it on your shelf. If I have gas left over from the winter, I typically try not to use it in the spring. So one of my goals is always to try to use as much as that of that gas as possible. But
right.
I think that putting it in now is better than not putting it in at all. So I would go ahead and put that, put it in. And then if you can use it now and not wait to get rid of it until spring. And then if so, you'll have to dispose of it somehow in the spring.
Do you, if I had to get rid of it, I guess there's recycling places I could take it to.
Yeah. There's hazardous waste drop off places in both St. Louis and St. Charles County.
Okay, but put the stable in and then try to use it as soon as possible.
Correct.
Okay, and a quick question. What do you think of battery-operated mowers? I'm about ready to go to something like that. It's just for my yard. I have a rather large yard, but I'm tired of the gas and the oil and all that stuff.
I love this question so much, and I am becoming a bigger and bigger and bigger fan of these battery-powered tools. We actually have just started trialing last season or two seasons ago. We have a full crew that's running all battery powered machines, with the exception of a blower, because the technology and the blowers aren't quite there yet, but they're getting better and better. The batteries are lasting longer and longer, and especially for homeowner use, it's a great option, you know, to not use fuel and to have a little less noise pollution and all of those things. So there's a lot of great options out there. I know that the Eco brand, I hear a lot of good things about their blowers and mowers and things like that. I haven't personally used any of the mowers, but the battery powered stuff is really, really, really come a long way. And I cannot recommend switching over to those enough, but do your research and make sure you're getting a good brand.
Okay. And I like them because they're quieter too.
For sure.
Than a lawnmower. So I can use the gas, use it soon, and it won't screw up my lawnmower, hopefully. But I don't know if I'll even keep this one. I mean, you know, it's just, okay. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mary. That is going to do it for this edition of the Garden Hotline. I do love those battery powered, like weed whackers. The blowers, you're right.
Yeah, they're not there yet.
They're not quite
chainsaw,
there.
Chainsaw, battery powered was life changing.
Chainsaw,
you don't have
definitely.
To pull that cord anymore.
Yeah. Michelle Reeser West, Pointer Landscaping. Check it out online. Thank you for coming back. I hope to see you again.
Yeah, I'll be back in a couple weeks. I like coming here.
Good.
So thanks so much for having me again.
Well, we like having you, and I know the listeners enjoy the information that you provide. That is going to do it. Thanks to James O'Sullivan for producing the show. I'm Scott Jagow. That is the Garden Hotline for today. We'll talk to you soon.